Welcome to Divine Love Talk with Dr. Parthenia Grant, where we talk about health, well-being, and the love of the divine that exists in all of us. Now, here's your host, Dr. Parthenia Grant.
Good morning. This is Dr. Parthenia Grant with Divine Love Talk, and I'm so excited to have part two today of the segment that we did last week on Don't Drink Your Own Kool-Aid, which was dictated to Kim Michaels by Elizabeth Clare Prophet, who was the leader of the Summit Lighthouse. Last week we had her, the two prophet daughters, on, and the show was absolutely magnificent. And I can't hear them. Okay, and I'm so excited to have Elizabeth Clare Prophet's personal physician, Richard Bartlett, who wrote the foreword to the new edition of Don't Drink Your Own Kool-Aid. Okay, we're having technical difficulties here, but Dr. Richard Bartlett is going to be on in a minute, and we have Kim Michaels who will be joining us. What was so exciting last week for me about the show is the fact that I feel that we got actual confirmation that life does continue after our transition from this planet. Richard, can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, wonderful. I apologize. I had some new headphones, and I couldn't hear a thing. Okay, so welcome, Richard Bartlett, to Divine Love Talk. Kim, are you there? Okay, wonderful. Okay, I apologize for the technical difficulty. Okay, so Richard, I'm so delighted that you agreed to write the foreword to Kim Michaels' book, Don't Drink Your Own Kool-Aid. And I'd like to just for you to start out telling us how you heard about the book, your reaction to it, and the whole little journey that brought you here to the show today.
Well, it was fascinating because I was on Facebook and someone had left me a private message, and sometimes that's hit or miss whether I actually won't see those or answer them because I'm not on Facebook anymore that often. But somebody that I knew left a message about the book, Don't Drink Your Own Kool-Aid, and I immediately checked it out and I bought it and I started reading it, and I realized that this was the very same Elizabeth Clare Prophet as an ascended master that I knew so intimately. When she was speaking in the book, it was like she was speaking to me. I'd heard her say things very similar to what she was saying in the book in private to me when I was with her.
Wow. Well, you know, when I met you at the conference this summer, the Ascended Master Conference that Kim put on here in L.A., I was just blown away when you said that to me, because I had read the book and I'd never met Elizabeth Clare Prophet. I'd never been a part of the organization. I just wasn't drawn to it. But the book spoke to me because I'm someone who I definitely want to ascend in this lifetime. And the book just offers this very simple, clear-cut path to ascension that I had been looking for my whole life. It was sort of like when I read the Life and Teachings of the Masters of the Far East, I kept reading it over and over and over, and Baird just didn't give us any kind of clear-cut path to how we could do it. I just knew that it was possible. And when this book did it, I was just blown away. But I was also blown away by Elizabeth Clare Prophet's candor and honesty about her own mistakes and what she learned from them. So I think that that is very, very powerful and valuable to everybody on the path to read that book and learn the humility and to know that everything that happens in your life, there's a learning curve involved.
She was very clear in that book, and she was very clear with me. She spoke to me like that, actually. We were not just doctor, patient, or guru, chela, but we were actually friends, and I spent probably more time with her than almost anybody for 8 years. And so I knew her extremely well. And she told me many private things that she talks about in that book.
Oh, wow. Because, the information that she gave to us in hindsight in that book, I felt like that was something that you could only gain after the fact.
She knew a lot of, she would admit to me things, but she was kind of trapped by the organization.
Yeah.
She was trapped by the expectations of the guru-chi relationship and all of people's projections on her and her own psychology, as she so clearly states there.
And that was very, very powerful. Kim, I want to bring you in because with a lot of the other books that you've done, in particular the ones that Jesus has dictated, he talks a lot about the importance of us healing our wounded psychology, and this book definitely addresses that.
Yes, I think it is an amazing book because, as you said, she is so direct and down-to-earth practical.
Yeah.
And you said she is humble, but I actually feel it's not even really humility as opposed to pride. It's beyond that dualistic polarity, you know, because she's just so straightforward.
Yeah.
And what I realized when I took the dictations for that book is that that is just the way it is when you ascend.
Mm-hmm.
You've got nothing to hide.
Right.
There are no games you're playing anymore.
Yeah. And isn't that beautiful?
It is. It's amazing.
Yeah, because when on the spiritual path, I see that a lot where people, you know, feel like, oh, there's this persona that they have to assume because I'm so spiritual now and I can only act a certain way and talk a certain way. And they're overly concerned about how other people perceive them. And I realized acutely from reading her book and watching other people in all these different organizations, you know, New Age metaphysical groups that I had gone to, trying to get away from that same thing in organized religion, you know, of being put in a box. And it was still there in that respect. So I really appreciated her talking about that in the book.
Yeah, and I definitely feel that when I was in her organization, which I was for quite a number of years, at least 15, 16 years, and I lived in Montana where they had their headquarters for 10 years, and I very much felt that there was a certain outer, almost like a mold you had to fit into, like there isn't any organization really, whether it's spiritual or not.
Right.
And it was really not until I took these dictations from her that I think I was freed from it myself.
Wow.
Because it was like I just realized how she had moved on.
Mm-hmm.
And that allowed me to move on in the way I looked at her and the organization.
Yes. Because I think, Richard, don't you think that everybody had this, had their own unique perspective of, and expectations about Elizabeth that probably had nothing to do with the real Elizabeth?
Well, I think most people couldn't possibly have known her because they'd never even met her personally. She never had shared more than a handshake at best with most of the people in the organization.
Okay.
There was a very small group of people, I would say, that knew her well enough to say they actually knew her as a person.
Got it. Oh, okay. So she kept that separation there as the teacher and then them as the student.
It was a practicality when you've got, I don't know what, 10,000 students maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you've got so many people in an organization, the organization itself becomes a beast. It overwhelms you, and there really isn't any way to have those kind of personal interactions with everybody.
Wow. Yeah, because if you kind of open the door to one, I mean, I can only speak on a smaller scale with 1,000 students a year, how they would just be lined up for hours. And, you know, I would stay on campus until midnight because when you open the door, they would all line up, you know, wanting a piece of you. And I can relate to what you're saying. Richard, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. So I'm also very curious, Richard, about how you came into embracing this whole ascended master concept? You know, how did you meet Elizabeth from the very, you know, can you take us on that journey?
I can try and do that in little sound bites. It's an arduous journey. When I was very young, I remembered walking and talking with Jesus, and I even told my parents, he's not like what they're saying he's like in churches or even in the Bible.
Right.
He was much more fun than that. And then I kept thinking that there was a place where I needed to form a church where Buddhism and the teachings of Jesus would come together.
Yeah, why not?
And when I found the Summit Lighthouse, there they were.
Wow.
I thought, oh, my God, thank goodness, I don't have to do it. Because I thought I might have to.
Well, yeah.
And, you know, the way I found Elizabeth was very strange. I found some old lessons by another group that had alleged teachings from the Ascended Masters. And I don't know if they really were authentic or not, but the vibration of the person who had studied the teachings was authentic.
Okay.
And so then when I got the new lessons, they didn't have the same vibration, and I was crushed. And then a week later, I actually was in a health food store, and there was a door that was partially opened. And I'd been doing this candle concentration exercise where you stare at a candle and you concentrate and try and, you know, focus your awareness. And so I thought when I saw this chart of the I Am Presence, it was an advanced candle concentration exercise.
That's understandable. I mean, I can see that.
Well, yeah, it looks just like that.
Right.
It looks like a candle if you blur your eyes.
Right.
And anyway, I asked about it, and then they told me about Elizabeth Clare Prophet. And I wasn't, I saw I Am Guru Ma, and I thought, well, I Am Guru Ma, who do you think you are?
How pretentious, huh?
Like, so what? I am Richard Bartlett. I'm not impressed, you know? But then it's funny because that night I had a dream, and I think I wrote this in the forum, but I had a dream where I was running through the streets of Oklahoma City, that's where it was, and she was giving a talk there, and I was looking in my dream for Elizabeth Clare Prophet, asking people frantically if they knew where she was.
Scared you were going to miss it. That was like my dream of...
Well, I did miss it, but at the time I wasn't ready. I was a rock musician.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. So, you know, I would like to also further this discussion, Richard, after Kim Michaels, after this next segment, Kim is going to give his message from the Ascended Masters, but about recognizing authentic messages from the Ascended Master. How do we recognize truth? So after the commercial break, I would like to do that. You're listening to Divine Love Talk on CRN. I am your host, Dr. Parthenia Grant, and I have online Dr. Richard Bartlett, the personal physician to Elizabeth Clare Prophet, sharing his insights into the book and into Elizabeth, and Kim Michaels, who is the author of Don't Drink Your Own Kool-Aid. We'll be back with our message from the Ascended Masters after commercial break. You can find Kim Michaels at TranscendenceToolbox.com. Okay, we're back with Divine Love Talk and Kim Michaels' message from the Ascended Masters. Okay, Kim.
Thank you. I am the Ascended Master, Guru Ma. I am once again drawn by the love of my friend Richard, my two daughters, those are my students who have recognized me, and those are my students who have not recognized me. And this is what I wish to address today. How do you recognize an Ascended Master? What does it mean to have spiritual discernment? Do you know, my beloved, why I entitled this book, Don't Drink Your Own Kool-Aid? Well, it was, of course, because I so often was accused of being the women equivalent of Jim Jones, who was making all of you, all of my students, drink the Kool-Aid. But it was also because you cannot recognize an ascended master if you are drinking your own Kool-Aid. Do you realize, as I'm sure you do, that we have had a number of organizations sponsored by the Ascended Masters? I myself recognize several of the previous dispensations and organizations. But do you know that so few students of one Ascended Master organization have moved on to the next messenger and the next organization? And why is that? It is because, as I talk about at length in the book, that you start forming an image based on the teachings of the organization you are following of what Ascended Masters are like. And you start forming an image of what you are supposed to be like as an Ascended Master student. What you do not realize is that there are two aspects of an Ascended Master message, dictation, teaching. There is the master, and then there is the outer form of the teaching. Why did you recognize an Ascended Master teaching? Surely, very few of you were brought up in Ascended Master teachings. You were brought up in traditional religions, and so you had to go against the mainstream to recognize an Ascended Master teaching. And you did this because you were open to considering something new. You also did it because beyond the outer words given by that Ascended Master teaching, you were able to tune into, to resonate with a vibration that was higher than anything you had experienced in these mainstream religions. So there are two aspects of discernment. One is openness, and that means that if you do not have openness, you cannot exercise discernment. Of course, you cannot be open to just anything, or you would easily be fooled by false teachings. But my point is that if you use one teaching to set up outer criteria for what the Ascended Master should say or should not say, how they should talk through a certain messenger and how they should not talk, then you are drinking your own Kool-Aid and you are shutting off your openness. And when you are not open to reading vibration, you cannot read vibration. You cannot accurately read vibration through a filter of a set of outer criteria for what we of the Ascended Master should or should not say and how we should or should not express ourselves. Why do you think we call it progressive revelation? Why do you think we sponsor new organizations and new messengers? It is because the message is progressive. When we have a given organization such as the Summit Lighthouse, we were not meant to say exactly the same or say it the same way as previous organizations, then the teaching would not have been progressive. Likewise today, I cannot say exactly the same things as I did when I was in embodiment, because it would only validate your image of me, and I cannot have you move on unless you are willing to look beyond the image and stop drinking your own Kool-Aid. I may have been the trigger for you developing and creating that Kool-Aid. This is true. But I did not create it. It was created in your mind. And that is where you need to overcome it, my beloved children and students.
Thank you so much, Guru Ma and Kim Michaels. We will be back after commercial break to discuss that amazing dictation that answered my question. I'm speaking with Dr. Richard Bartlett, the personal physician to Elizabeth Clare Prophet and Kim Michaels' book, Don't Drink Your Own Kool-Aid. Divine Love Talk on CRN, and we're going to move right into discussing that amazing dictation from Guru Ma that actually answered my question about how we can recognize Ascended Master teachings. But I also want to announce that Dr. Sarah Larson is going to be on the line at the end of the show giving us a quick little health secret. So, Richard, Dr. Bartlett, I would like your reaction to that message.
Well, unfortunately, I didn't get to hear most of it. The line cut me off at some point, and I had to get back on.
Oh,
but
I'm
my
so
heart,
sorry.
I was pouring tears down my face when I heard her start talking, because I just have such a deep and abiding love for her, not as a person, but also as all that she is and all that she represents. And it is just a deep devotional sense. And I say you recognize an ascended master from the love in your heart that resonates with that truth.
Yeah. You know, speaking of tears, last week I was moved to tears, Richard, when she came online, because when Kim does the messages, we never know who's going to show up. And I had just said to her daughters when we were on commercial break, I said, well, we don't know who's going to show up. I said, but wouldn't it be just amazing if your mother showed up, and bam, when she did. I just felt her presence in the room. The door actually opened, and no one was there. And that, you know, the door closes very tightly. So it, the room was just filled with her. And so I totally understand how you feel. Richard, are you still there?
I am.
Okay. Well, for me, in terms of recognizing high-level teachings, and that's what I would call Ascended Master teachings, my very first experience with that was, of course, reading that five-volume set, The Life and Teachings of the Masters of the Far East, and it was there was a lot of resistance to me reading that set of books because of the old programming and, you know, the churches that I had been brought up in, quite a few, but specifically I had found the Jehovah's Witnesses when I was a teenager, and they have this real prohibition against anything that has to do with Eastern mysticism or anything other than the Bible. So when an older lady, you know, gave me the set and said I should read it, I somehow didn't want to do it at first, but then I was drawn to it, and I was just blown away by the truth that was in it. I just knew that my heart just recognized that, yes, I know this to be true. Kim, I think you read that set, didn't you?
Yes, many years ago. And I never actually took it literally that this expedition had taken place. I know there are some that have denounced the books because it was a fake, the expedition never took place. But that never bothered me because I always looked at it as a story. But I also, as you, I recognized a vibration in those books that was beyond what I had found elsewhere.
Yeah, I didn't. Well, you know, I've often found that, and I know you've seen that in your own teachings, and Dr. Bartlett, I'm sure you've encountered this as well, where anytime you bring forth something that is different than the status quo or the norm, it's going to be denounced and it's going to be, you know, attacked as it never happened. But I didn't. That wasn't the feeling that I got when I was reading it, that it never happened. I felt that authentically, this was an experience that had occurred, and that he was bringing this message to the West to introduce us to the fact that there are these beings who have this ability to ascend and also to communicate with us and to materialize from the fifth dimension, and, you know, and come back and show themselves on a third dimensional level. But that was just my take on it. Richard, did you ever read that set?
I read those many, 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 many years ago. I don't even remember how old I was. To me, it might have spurred something, but I always had this search inside of me, and I was an altar boy in Catholic school, and now I'm just an altered boy, as I like to say. But I grew up Catholic, and I had a deep abiding love for Jesus.
Yes.
To the point where I was trying to live those teachings, and what I found out is if you turn the other cheek, people just use it as an excuse to hit you.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, for sure.
Which was fine, but I actually tried to live that, and I was abused as a kid. But it's okay.
Of course. No, I
still had
relate.
That peace in my heart.
I can totally relate to that because when I actually Kim's teachings are the first encounter that I've had with actually getting a higher understanding of turning the other cheek, because I also felt that it meant you were supposed to be a doormat and just leave yourself open for abuse. So Kim, could you, since he brought that up, could you shed a higher understanding on the spiritual meaning behind turn the other cheek?
Well, obviously, you have a right to stand up for yourself and your own free will and make your own choices. But the essence of the message is that people who attack you are in a dualistic frame of mind. Mm-hmm. And what you need to do is not react to that, not go into a dualistic fight with them. Because when you don't do that, then the energy they are sending out, the karma, if you want to call
it's
that,
theirs.
Is returned to them, and you don't take it on. Otherwise, you take it on. You make karma as well.
Yeah, and that was profound for me, Kim. That was very simple, but it was very profound. And it was profound enough for me to find a way to be compassionate towards people that are dualistic, but also to understand that it doesn't mean that I don't stand up for myself or have boundaries, and that, you know, it didn't mean that I should not stand up for children or people that are being abused and say something about it. But what I got out of it is, you know, not to do it from a place of anger or reactiveness or negativity. You know, when you're standing firm, just because it's the right thing to do, I don't feel like you're creating karma versus if I hit someone and I'm really angry about it. Or if I do a verbal hit, because we can do verbal hits.
Well, of course,
hits.
It's a lot different when you're a little kid and you don't know any of that.
Oh, that's very true. And Richard, I can I can totally relate to being abused as a child. And that whole turn the other cheek with an abusive adopted father, that was very, very tough for me to learn not to react to him, but at the same time to stand firm and not capitulate to his madness, because his was very emotionally abusive. So I think we all need to find that balance and find our own understanding of turning the other cheek, but I certainly don't like giving my energy away to people that are just, you know, and when I become angry, then I don't feel good about it afterwards. Does that make sense, Richard?
Sure. What I can say about that is I was uniquely the person I am even now back then, and I will tell you, I'm having a lot more fun than anybody that was making fun of me or abusing me back then. I definitely got the last laugh, and I'm just very, I feel like it contributed to my growth. Everything I experienced even back then was towards my growth, and I look at it that way, and I have no feelings of need for forgiveness or remorse or anger over anything. It was actually just perfect the way it was.
Well, and you know, that's a powerful place to get to, Richard, because it's only been over the past few years with the work that I've done on myself via Kim Michael's books that have helped me truly own that whenever something happens and I think it's a bad thing because it's different than my expectations, or it's abusive, or it's just mean-spirited or hurtful, that it's really for my own personal growth. And everything that has happened to me, I can honestly say that I've become a better person, a better teacher, a better writer, because of all of the adversity that I've gone through. And I remember in one of my books, in my first divorce, I dedicated it to my ex-husband, who was really wretched during the divorce. And I said, thank you for the lessons in adversity that I learned. I grew in spite of them. But I've grown beyond even that dedication. Kim, were you getting ready to say something?
No, I was just wondering if Richard had anything he wanted to share about his time with Elizabeth.
Okay.
Well, you know, what I was reflecting on is something she told me. She told me so many things. I could spend hundreds of hours telling you what she told me if I could remember it all. But she told me, you know, Richard, you know, I think more people would make it on the path if they had the kind of experience that you've had.
So specifically meaning what?
But I'm still here, you know, and I did recognize when she left, I left that behind, but I immediately recognized the thread of the teaching and the thread of the heart when I saw it again with you. And so I kind of understand what she means.
Can you elaborate just a little bit what she meant about if they had your experience?
Well, I'm not sure exactly what she meant. I got, let's just say I got very trained, very disciplined, and very loved.
Okay.
I was exposed to, you would see all the sides of her character. I saw everything and then some. And
well, don't you think that's what she meant, though, Richard? Don't you think that might have been what she meant, that you got to know her behind the facade?
I did, absolutely.
But
more so than that, something El Moria said to me, Master Morn now, he said, the reward for service is more service. And that has been, that and something St. Germain said to me personally in a dictation, he said, you think, beloved hearts, it is because of your techniques that people heal. Nay, I tell you, it is not so. It is in spite of your techniques, but it is the grace of God.
Yeah.
It's those little pearls that get deposited in your heart that are like a single drop that can start an ocean.
Yeah.
You know, it's just an amazing thing to have that kind of experience.
Wow. And also, maybe it could be, you know, like with all the controversy surrounding, you know, the bomb shelter, which she talks about, you maintained your connection and understanding throughout it all.
Well, I was there with her when she found out what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there digging the bomb shelters. I was there, and I would dig the bomb shelters. I would be up in the heart digging the bomb shelters during the day and then be treating her at night.
Okay.
And I never basically rested the whole time I was on staff. I was available 24 hours a day. And it was the best experience of my life. Absolutely.
Wow. So you never had that disconnect from her?
No.
That's pretty
amazing. In fact, when she was diagnosed with Alzheimer's 2 years before she was diagnosed, she sent me, El Moria sent me to naturopathy school, telling me that, it's very funny what he said. He said, you know, Richard, your soul is bored. He says, it is not a good thing when your soul is bored, Richard. You have done things in past lives. You need to go to, I have need of you at a higher level, and sent me to naturopathy school.
And that's a wonderful thing.
The last day before I moved, she came to my house and had to crawl over boxes to get to the table, and I adjusted her for the last time and worked with her. And the most bizarre thing, terrible thing, but the most bizarre thing happened. I heard a very strong voice inside of me as I was working with her telling me to tell her that she had Alzheimer's.
Oh,
and
wow.
I had to tell her that. And, oh, my God, that was not comfortable. That was the last words I ever spoke to her. She was not pleased.
Yeah,
and
bet.
Then 2 years later, she was diagnosed.
Okay.
So to be put in that position as the last word she ever said in embodiment to your friend and guru wasn't great. And then I was banned later. I mean, the medical staff took over, and I was banned from talking to her, seeing her, or in any way helping her. And I'd been there at her side 24 hours a day for 8 years.
So that had
to
be pretty
traumatic.
So it was
a very interesting thing.
So, well, how were you able to put that back together, the, you know, not being able to see your beloved guru?
I moved on. I was pretty busy. When you're when you're in a 4-year medical school,
yeah.
31 credit hours a semester plus labs, plus
okay.
I had to work as a doctor and another stay on the weekends. You really don't have time to commiserate a lot.
Well, that was a beautiful thing. So you were able to help her move into an acceptance of what was going on. And so that, as painful as it was also, I think, very helpful. Kim, what insight do you have on that?
Well, I was moved by what Richard said, that she had told him that if more people had that experience, and I personally feel I never really had a personal relationship with her while she was in embodiment. I did talk to her one time privately for a very short time, but at that time I got a feel for her presence, her being as a human being. Mm-hmm. And I think it would be very helpful for people to know that she, behind all of the facade, she was a human being.
Yeah. We have
extremely vulnerable, extremely humble,
yeah,
extremely afraid at times.
Yeah, and we have a tendency to put our teachers on a pedestal, and you know that it takes them out of that human fallibility. You're listening to Divine Love Talk. I am your host, Dr. Parthenia Grant, and Dr. Richard Bartlett. If they want to get a hold of you, how can they reach you very quickly?
They just have to contact Matrix Energetics. That's hard to get a hold of me personally.
Okay, matrixenergetics.com?
Yes.
Okay. So, Richard, that's ending our segment with you. Thank you so much. We're going to be closing out with Kim and Dr. Sarah Larson at the end. So thank you so much for sharing your insights on Don't Drink Your Kool-Aid and for writing the foreword to that book. So we want to encourage you to grab that book. You're listening to Divine Love Talk. I'm your host, Dr. Parthenia Grant. We're back with Divine Love Talk and wrapping this up with Kim Michael's book, Don't Drink Your Own Kool-Aid. And coming up is Dr. Sarah Larson with Miraculous Holistic Medicines. Kim, very quickly, what's really miraculous about your book is that it's from a newly ascended master. And I think that might be the first time or an original. What was your reaction to taking this dictation for the book?
Well, I thought it was really a very unusual thing because it's never really been done before. And I do feel that there is a certain cosmic experiment here of will people actually be able to recognize her and move on with her? And because what you realize, like you've said a couple of times, that life is really an ongoing process, mm-hmm, and death is not the end.
Yeah.
And I also think what we ended up talking about with Richard is that she was seen by many people as a very highly developed spiritual being, but she also had a human side.
Yes.
And the wonderful thing about recognizing that in her is that if you don't idolize her, you can stop idolizing yourself.
Wow.
You can stop pretending that you have to be this and that way when you're a spiritual person. And then you can look at your human side and you can see that you're more than that.
Wonderful.
And that there are some human aspects that don't really even matter for your ascension. You can still ascend.
Okay. Well, that's what I got out of the book, and thank you so much for that. We're ending the show with Dr. Sarah Larson. So what's your miraculous holistic medicine for today, Dr. Sarah?
Hi there. I'm so glad to listen to the show, and it's so beautiful. Today's minute, Miracle Minute, is really about sweet potatoes.
Ooh.
And I just love that we can heal and cure our bodies and prevent aging with so much of the foods that we eat around this holiday season.
Uh-huh.
And sweet potato is one to really load up your plate. It has antioxidants, beta-carotene, that help ward off damage to cells. Any vulnerable cells in your body get a boost when you're eating sweet potatoes. They contain a great deal of vitamin A.
Mm-hmm.
There are also antioxidants that get rid of inflammation,
mm-hmm,
help with acne, help with your skin. And if you go for the purple and the deeper colors, they also suppress and reduce cancer risks.
Wow.
And prevent blood clots.
And the leaves, you can eat the leaves too. I'm growing some now so I can eat the leaves.
It's such a wonderful food all around. And so this time of year, we have such a great, rich variety of sweet potatoes that are happening coming out of your garden.
Right.
And you can eat the leaves, which actually contain even more anti-carcinogenic properties, and they have a detoxifying effect.
Wonderful.
And anyone with digestive problems will really, really benefit from sweet potatoes because they absorb some of the harm that we do to ourselves with the gluten-rich foods as well. And then they also scoop up heavy metals, the mercury, the cardamoms, the arsenic.
Wow. And, you know, we can get kids to, when the potato buds, they can just put it in a jar and grow their own inside. So I think that's a wonderful thing to encourage our children to do, right?
It absolutely is. And it's so great for kids to watch and eat something that they've grown on their own. And
how
that's one of
that?
My favorite parts of that. The question we often get with sweet potatoes is it safe for pre-diabetics and diabetics?
Uh-huh.
And yes, sweet potatoes should still be consumed in moderation with diabetics, especially...
Thank you, Dr. Sarah. I'm sorry. We've got to end now. You've been listening to Divine Love Talk. I'm your host, Dr. Parthenia Grant. And thank Dr. Richard Bartlett for writing the foreword to Don't Drink Your Own Kool-Aid and Kim Michaels for his incredible body of work at TranscendenceToolbox.com. And thank you, Dr. Sarah Larson. She'll be back next week with a regular segment of Miraculous Holistic Medicines.